I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, walking in the light. Walking in the light, that's what God wants us to do, walking in the light. John 8, verse 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, that is his disciples and those that were listening to him. And he was saying to them, and the word of God is saying to us, and the Spirit of God is saying to us that are believers, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, everybody say followeth. That's something we're supposed to do. We're supposed to follow him. Follow him. Those that follow him, he says, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So if he's the light of the world, and he's in us, then we have his light. Amen? I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with any vain words. In other words, he's telling us here as believers and as Christians, we have to be careful because there are those that are out in this world of darkness that will try to deceive us with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Do not ye therefore be partakers with them. So he's telling us, come out from among the world and be separate. Don't be partakers with those who just have religion and don't have Christianity and don't have a relationship and fellowship with God. And then he's speaking to us in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. We were all in the darkness. We're going to talk about that here in a few moments. But now that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now light in the Lord. He expects us to walk as children of light. Amen? That's what he expects for all of us. And if we have him in living in us and are filled with his Holy Spirit, we can do that. We can walk in the light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit, that's the fruit that the Spirit produces in those of us who are believers and have put our faith in Christ. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And it proves, verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So the Holy Spirit in us proves to us as Christians, as we walk in the light, what is of God and what is not of God and what God wants us to do and what God doesn't want us to do. In other words, we have a conviction. We have a sensibility in our spirits that lets us know. We may not know exactly why something's wrong or what's wrong with it, but we know at that time the Holy Spirit convinces us. As Jesus said, when he's come into the world, he will reprove the sin of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And this is what we do as Christians. God doesn't do this. We have to do this. But rather reprove them. Doesn't mean we go around finding fault with people and jumping on them and picking on them because they're not living right. It means that by the way we live our lives and the light shines, they automatically are, it reproves them. They know that they don't have something that we have. Are you with me? Amen? Verse 12, or it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved, all things that the Holy Spirit reproves are made manifest by the light. The light manifests, the light reveals, the light makes those things known. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So the light shines and it manifests itself as light in all of us who walk in the light. Therefore, he says, verse 14, awake, thou that sleepest. He's writing this to Christian people. Now's not the time to be falling asleep. Now's not the time to be giving up. Now's not the time to be falling away from the Lord and from His Word and from fellowship with Him and from the church. Don't fall asleep. But now's the time to arise from the dead, because you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not I. But you don't live, but Christ liveth in you, like Paul said. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen? So we're dead with Christ. The old man is dead. We've been born again and renewed by the Spirit of God. And when we understand that and begin to walk in it by the power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then we become light in the Lord. Verse 15, see then. Everybody knows what see then means? It means have an understanding. I want you to see. I want you to understand this. I want you to see this. So that you will walk circumspectly. In other words, you will walk wisely. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 6. Not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, buying up the time, make the most of your time, because every one of us, the Bible says, that are Christians, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to receive the things that we've done for Him in this life. Amen? We're going to receive rewards. But if we've done anything in our own and haven't done it in His Spirit and by love for Him and through love for Him or for any other reason, then our works are going to be burned up. And we're going to suffer loss. You can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, buying up the time, because the days are evil. Make the most of your time for the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean you just have to quit your jobs and go off and do whatever. It means that while you're in your jobs and while you're doing whatever you're supposed to do to get along in this life, you make Him the center of your life and you depend on Him for everything, even the things that you do on your jobs or in your relationship with other people, husbands and wives and children. And are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's how you redeem the time, and you have to understand you need to do that because the days are evil, and if you don't do that, then you're going to be easily caught up in things that will be displeasing to the Lord and cause you to lose the joy of your salvation. We're saying this not to condemn or to quench or put anybody down. We're saying this, and the Word of God is telling us this, so He can build us up and lift us up and encourage us, and we can have the peace and love that God wants us to have and enjoy in our lives. Amen? Verse 17, that wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, think carefully before doing or saying something. Consider the cost or the blessing. Now, there's some other passages of scriptures I want to read here to you. And we'll get into these as we kind of go along, but I just want to say a couple of things, remind you of a couple of things. The Bible, that is the Word of God, and these are some things I want to say to you before we get some more back into the scriptures. The Word of God teaches us that there are two kingdoms in this God's creation in which we live. Two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, which is over and above every kingdom in creation. Kingdom of God's over everything. Amen? Then there is the kingdom of Satan, who in the Bible, in the Word of God, is referred to as the God of this world. Little g, not big G, but he's referred to as the God of this world. He didn't get into that position because God made him in that position. He got in that position as being the God of this world by deceiving Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and gaining control because they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They believed his lie and they became his gods, knowing good and evil. And when they did, this kingdom of this world And every human being from that time forth has been born into this kingdom. Now the world system, and it's referred to as the kingdom of darkness. You with me? So there we have the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Also, we need to understand that these kingdoms are in the spiritual realm. It's like in the air. Any of you look around right now and look at the air? Do you see nitrogen? Do you see oxygen? Do you see any of those things? But you know they exist, right? If it wasn't oxygen, you wouldn't be alive. You understand that? So the spiritual realm is like that, which we can't see with our natural eyes or by our regular sight. We can, however, in our spirit, sense the reality of this spiritual realm. Everybody, to some time or another, even when we're children, oftentimes, we can sense in our being that there is something going on. There's God, there's angels, there's something going on around us that we can't see, but we know they're there. We sense that they're there. Amen? How many of you have ever sensed that? Every hand should be up. We all sense that. Even non-Christians sense that. Because there is a spiritual realm, and that's why a lot of them, even non-Christians, get involved in witchcraft and horoscopes and worship of demons and all of that. They're walking in the kingdom of darkness. So we can sense the spirits and the reality of the spiritual realm. And next thing I want to say is we are spiritual beings. We live in an earthly body. But this body is not who we are, because the Bible tells us that for without the spirit, the body is dead. Amen? When a person leaves this body, there's death. I tell people at funerals, when they're looking at the casket of a lost loved one, that person's not there. That's just the tent. That's just the body they were living in. While we're here on earth, so we could see them and talk to them, but the person that was making that body alive, that spirit, who the reality of us, is gone. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, to those of us that are Christians, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Amen? So death is not the end, that's just the beginning. We're here in these physical bodies for the purpose of choosing where we want to spend eternity, and that's your choice and my choice. That's every human being's choice. And that's why the gospel is being preached around the world, for God so loved the world that not anyone should perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. The Lord's not willing that any should perish. But we have a decision to make. Amen? So it's a spiritual realm that we can sense. And our spiritual bodies live in this spiritual being. We live in this earthly body, as Jesus explained to the woman at the well. And they got in a... He was talking, speaking to her, and she said, "Well, we worship here. You Jews worship over there." And Jesus said, "Let me tell you something. You don't really know what you're worshiping." He said, "God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." As He explained that to the woman. And I'll say the same thing that He said to her, that God says to us through His Word and through His Spirit. We need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we can worship Him. If we don't worship Him that way, then we don't know who we're worshiping or what we're worshiping. All we have is religion, and religion won't save you. Religious works, do's, don'ts, keeping of rules, and so forth won't save you. For by grace, that is God's unmerited, unearned, we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, but by His grace. For God so loved the world, it's His mercy that we're saved. We receive His mercy. We don't work and deserve it and earn it by keeping the Ten Commandments or anything else. We're saved by grace, by faith, through grace. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just as it's very obvious that there's a great difference between day and night. Right? Don't have any problem with that. And so it is so obvious that there's a great difference between those who are in God's kingdom of light and those who are in Satan's kingdom of darkness. As Jesus said, you'll know them by their works, by their fruits. There's another truth that we need to understand, that just as we are born into this world of darkness, as Jesus told Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders in his day who didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, he said, you have to be born again into the spiritual kingdom of God, into God's kingdom of light. Now we want to consider some of the scripture verses, and we're going back to some of these scriptures, and we're going to look at them and examine them and see if we can understand fully just what it is the Spirit of God's trying to get us to see or to get us to understand. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. Now, that's going to be put up on the board for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3. For when they, and that's the world and the people of the worldly system, when they say to you peace and safety, and when they're saying there's peace, have you ever, listen to me just for a minute, have you ever heard so much about peace today in this time and age that you've ever heard in your whole life? They're saying peace everywhere. Peace, we want peace, we're looking for peace, let's have peace. So whenever he tells us here in this word, whenever you hear these things, and they're saying everything's going to just be fine, everything's going to be okay, there's peace and safety, then sudden destruction's coming on them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So he says all of a sudden the kingdom of God is going to come, it's going to be manifested on this earth, it's going to be like a woman that's carrying a child, and all of a sudden, she starts having pains. And we're beginning to see some of those pains. And in spite of the fact that everybody's saying peace, we're seeing all of these things going on in this world that lets us know there's very little peace, even peace in people's lives, except those that have the peace of God. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but you, brethren, how many brothers and sisters in the Lord do we have here this morning? He tells you right now, if you're a Christian, if you've been saved, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, then he wants you to know right now you are no longer in darkness. Can somebody say amen? You're no longer in darkness. And so that day should not overtake you as a thief in the night. Because you're not only not in darkness, but you are all children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Amen? You've been born again, you're children of the light. You're children of the day. You're no longer in darkness. You've been translated out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So therefore, don't be asleep. Don't let others discourage you. And don't follow the others of the world. But let's watch and be sober and be vigilant, because we were talking the other day, and I was telling this person I was talking with, you know, I said something about the disciples were looking for the coming return of the Lord, and I said, yeah, that person said, well, are we to be looking for the coming of the Lord? I said, yeah. Well, they've been looking for him coming for a long time. I said, yeah, that's true. We're still looking. Just think about this. He told them to watch. He tells us to watch, and all of those in between to watch. It's been over 2,000 years. How much closer do you think it is to coming and being here? Amen? Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No man, when he has lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, or neither does he put it under a bushel, but he puts it on a candlestick. So if you've been lighted by God and by the Spirit of God, then you're like a candlestick. You're, whether you like it or not, you're light. Can I tell you a story real quickly? I joined the military, and I was just a kid. There was 127 people in our barracks, and I had been baptized in a church, and I was a professed Christian, but I guarantee you, I didn't know God from a lizard. I was just a church member. And I prided myself in that I could be just as rough and just as tough and maybe meaner than anybody else. If you don't believe that, if my dad was here, he could tell you some stories about Lewis Cowan, let me tell you for sure. 127 men in our barracks. And the DI had us all at attention, and we were standing there in the hot sun. And he said, I need somebody to be a liaison. I need somebody to be a go-between between me and the chaplain. I need somebody to be representative of the chaplain here in this squadron. And he walked up and down the line, and I was in about the third line, and he come up right to me, and he said, you're going to be my man. I got so mad. I didn't want to be his man, much less have anything to do with chaplain. I wanted to say, you made a mistake, but you don't tell the DI you make a mistake. You just do what they say, right? So I thought, later on, after I've come to know the Lord, I thought, man, I couldn't hide anywhere. God had his hand on me, and I found out later on the reason he did is, one of the reasons is that Mom told, after being married 3 years, she got on her knees before the Lord like Hannah did in the Old Testament. She said, Lord, if you'll just give me a little baby boy, I'll dedicate him to him for you, to you for the rest of your life, his life. From the world's point of view, I was a dead duck before I ever even got started. Right? Thank God for my mom. Thank God for my mom. And if you have Christian moms and dads and they've tried to bring you up in the faith and in the truth, thank God for them. Amen? That's one of the best things in the world could happen to you. So we're candlesticks. We're not supposed to be under a bushel. We're supposed to be shining just like this light right here. It might not be very bright, and you might not be very bright, and I might not be very bright as far as the shining of the spiritual realm is concerned, but we are giving all forth light. And those that are in darkness that come in contact with us understand that there's something different about us. There's something. I've had a lot of them come up to me. I've worked in construction and most all the last many years of my life with Berry Contracting and Golston Engineering and Golston Contracting and our own contracting. I was an inspector. I've worked in the world and had to make a living in refineries and from here to all over Texas to Oklahoma and other places in construction. But they knew something was different about me. I didn't have to go around talking about it. They knew. In fact, they'd come talk to me. Amen. Verse 34, Luke 11, 34. Gonna have to hurry. The light of the body is the eye. Now, the eye here, so I need you to think about this because If you're going to be, if you are light, then you need to understand that to walk in the light is to follow that light, and the eye is the soul or the understanding. That is the light of the body is the soul or then is spirit. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But when your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. Verse 35 of Luke 11, therefore take heed therefore that the light, in other words, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, prove you not your own selves, lest that Christ be in you, know you not, except Christ be in you, except you be reprobate. That's what 2 Corinthians 13, I think, 5:13 says. In other words, we need to examine and look and make sure that we are in the light and the light is in us. Amen? Take heed, therefore, verse 35, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Make sure it's not religion, that it is that you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, 11, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen? So when we confess Jesus as Lord, now he said to those that were saying that Jesus was Lord, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say to you? All right? We didn't just call him Lord and say, you're my Lord, and then go on like he's not and doesn't even exist. You listen to me, it has to be with your heart, with your soul, from your inner being. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If the whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when a bright shining of a candle doth give light. Amen? So that means we need to get into the Word of God. We need to submit ourselves, therefore, unto God, as James tells us in chapter 4, as he was writing to the believers, Christians, and submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Did you know that? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I just wonder how many Christians in here have gotten involved in spiritual warfare, even realized that they were in spiritual warfare, and have even tried to put on the whole armor of God, as it is described in Ephesians, and know that they've resisted the devil and watched the devil. Have you ever had, where watched the devil? Don't raise your hand. Just have you ever resisted the devil and had him flee from you? Boy. Can I tell you? Oh, tell you another story. I have my wife and I didn't, she had. I was the man, but we had three children. We had a son, Lewis Jr., and we had a daughter, Rachel. We had a younger daughter 10 years later. Her name was Leslie. Well, all three of them were just as bad, if not worse, than I was when I was teenagers. I had an old lady call me up one day and said, Pastor Cowan, do you know what your kids are doing? I knew what they were doing. Not everything, thank God, but I knew they weren't doing right, because they were chips off the old block. I said, no, ma'am. I said, I don't guess they do. She said, well, they're running around with the wrong crowd. And I said, ma'am, if you have any children that are running around my children, tell them to stay away from them. They're not running around with the wrong crowd. They are the wrong crowd. She slammed up the phone. I meant that with all my heart. But our daughter, Rachel, the oldest, got into some pretty deep stuff when she was a teenager. And I was walking around the house wondering what to do. At that point in time, I was a young minister. I had read the Bible only how many times, the New Testament, but I hadn't put it really in practice, and I didn't really know how to put in practice. I didn't know about putting on the armor of God, and I didn't know about resisting the devil and all that kind of stuff. I'd read it, but I had never applied. You understand what I mean? So the Lord said, I want you to go in that bedroom, you get, close the door, get on your knees, and I want you to pray what I tell you. And I want you to speak it out loud. So I did. I got on my knees. He said, say this. I resist you, devil, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get your hands off of my daughter right now, in Jesus' name. I put my hands literally over my head. I thought the devil was going to jump out of the ceiling and hit me on the head. I hadn't done spiritual warfare. It wasn't 3 days. My daughter walked in the house, completely changed person, got her Bible, got in her room and shut the door, started reading her Bible and didn't come out. I thought, Lord, what have you done to her? Something, she's gone crazy. She's gone to the opposite crazy side ever. And she read that Bible and read that Bible and read it. We even moved from that house and moved in some apartments in Casa del Rey over here. Those apartments were brand new back then. We moved in there. And boy, has she been perfect since then? By no stretch of the imagination. But she does know God. And she's serving God today and ministering to women today. So is my son. Amen? See, God, what does God say? What did Jesus say? For with me, all things are possible. When the man that had the son that was taken by a demon, we'd say, or had epilepsy or had fits, or whatever was wrong, the man came to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, if you can. And Jesus said, if I can. Don't you understand? I can do anything. He said, but if you can. If you can. And what did he say? If you can believe, if you can have faith, if you can put your trust in me, all things are possible to him that believeth. Him that puts his trust. What is that? That man cried out. He told the truth. As best he knew, he believed. But he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Amen? What he was saying was, I think I believe, I think I have faith, but if I don't, then help me have it. I need you. I need faith. I trust you. I believe you. And boy, from that moment, his son was healed. Amen? It's not can God do it. It's can we believe? Can we have faith? Can we trust God? Can we believe that He is and He'll do what He says He will do? Do we believe His Word? Amen? And I know about you, I've never gotten everything I've ever asked for since I've been a Christian. I've gotten a lot of things, but I do know this, that I do believe God, I can trust God, and I can depend on Him, and He loves me, and He takes care of me. Amen? Amen? And He takes good care of me. I have peace in the middle of the storm. I have His peace that passes all understanding. Amen? I have His love. I have His forgiveness. But I spend every day some in the Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You don't realize that Word, the Bible, is what feeds your soul. That's what feeds your spirit. You can't neglect that, because without that food, without that nourishment, without that spiritual strength that comes through that, you can't be what God wants you to be. You can't have the peace and the joy and the love of God in your life the way it's supposed to be. You've got to get into the Word. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Study the Word. Speak the Word. Amen? Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will speak unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the depths of the sea, and it'll be done. Now, how many of you realize He didn't want us to go out there and move a mountain? Literally. Right? We don't have any mountains around here, right? Huh? But there's mountains in the spiritual realm. There's spiritual adversaries. There's spiritual battles. And so He's talking about, we use our faith and the Word of God. We speak the Word of God. Get your hands off of me, Satan. I don't belong to you. I've been translated out of your kingdom. I'm a child of God. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. You don't have any control over me or my life. We have to speak the Word of God. Amen? Not just believe it and know it, but speak it. If you don't know it, you don't read it, you can't speak it. If you can't speak it, you can't have the results of it. It's really simple, people. Just do it. Amen? And the first step in doing that, and let's everybody stand. I'm going to shut up. The first step in doing that is understanding that the Bible says, I'll give you one of the first words you need to act upon. It says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? You shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You'll be saved. Then continue in the Word. Amen? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time. We'd ask You, Lord, and on behalf of all of us that are standing here this day and are in the back of this church today, that will be eating with us and be enjoying fellowship with us. We'd ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they would draw nigh to You, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would draw them. They'd draw nigh to You, Lord. They'd have a desire to come close to You, submit themselves to You, listen to Your Word, get in the New Testament and read it and begin to apply it in their lives, Lord, so that they could know who You are and experience the fellowship and the living relationship with You. Let them come to realize that though all their religion and all the junk that they're trying to say themselves, some of them not even trying, Lord, lift them before Your throne of grace. Lord God, have mercy. Help them. Deal with them, Father, so that they might be saved. Thank You, Lord, for loving and caring for us. Thank You for this place and every person present here this today and all of those who are part of our prayer list and part of our church family and support this with their time, their talents, and their finances. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.